wanted to go over some of the themes of Eicha. We think about Megillas Eicha, we have a question, what exactly is, what is Eicha all about? Eicha, interestingly, in the Gemara is called Sefer Kinos. It's a translation, English name is called Lamentations. And it describes the circumstances of the Korban and the feeling of the Jewish people after the Korban. Now what's fascinating about Megillas Eicha, and one of the fascinating aspects of Megillas Eicha, is that the Jewish people are basically portrayed almost, it's a lot of it, as Yerushalayim. And that's how the Megillah begins, Eicha Yashva Badad, Ha'ir Abbas Yam Ha'Yisak Almana. How does the city that used to be plentiful and full of people, it's sitting lonely. It's like a widow. Rabasi Bagoyim Sayvas Haitalamas. Bachotif Kebalaila, the personification of Yerushalayim that we have in Megillas Eicha, is a very, very, very strong personification, which also comes up in the positive side. On the flip side, we after Tisha B'Av, we have the Haftorahs from Yeshaya of the Shiva de Nechemta, where again Yerushalayim is portrayed again as a mother, as a woman, as a wife slash mother, seeing her children returning from the exile. And this idea that Yerushalayim, the personification of Yerushalayim, makes us also realize about the Korban, Yerushalayim represents Am Yisrael, the heart of the nation, so that Yerushalayim almost lives. It's not just a city, it's not just, you know, a Tel Aviv or a Haifa, whatever. Yerushalayim is, it's almost a living being, and the status of Yerushalayim is very much a reflection of the status of the Jewish people. When Yerushalayim is desolate, when Yerushalayim is, that's reflection of the desolation of the Jewish people at large. The building of Yerushalayim is parallel and in tandem with the development and the growth of the Jewish people and Yerushalayim, and therefore the whole, it's fascinating as we read through Megillah, see Zarchai Yerushalayim, thinking about the personification of the Jewish people as the city of Yerushalayim. Another fascinating point of Megillas Eicha is as we read through, particularly in the first three prakim, I think there's a sort of hashkafic approach to tragedy that we have, and the feeling, especially in the face of this kind of tragedy, like the Korban Habayis, some very deep, is philosophically, has some very, very deep ideas which come out. First of all, let's say, for example, we talk about the beginning of the Megillah, talks about the loneliness, as I mentioned, the loneliness of the city, which is the primary thought. Yerushalayim is recalling its former glory and now looking at its degraded state. But what also comes out is the extent that Yerushalayim was the enemies, right, and the feeling of the being abandoned by all of the other allies. As Yerushalayim realizes that they thought the ridicule and the scorn that the Jewish people, i.e. / Yerushalayim, are seen by all other nations. If you take a look in Pasuk Chet or Pasuk Zayin, Zachra Yerushalayim Yemein Yom Rodea Kol Machmoda Shuv Mekedem. Yerushalayim remembers at its time of poorness all the greatness that it had before Amab Yatzar Ve'Ein Ozerla, and nobody helps Yerushalayim. Nobody helps the Jewish people. Ra'u Atzarim, or its enemies saw it, Sachakol Mishpatea. They just laughed at her downfall. This idea of the scorn of the enemies is a very, very strong theme that comes up. There's a recognition as well, and obviously is a part of a Jewish perspective, that punishment is typically taken, again, we don't know the on a micro level, we don't know the cheshbonos of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, tzadik v'ra'ala rasha v'tovlo, has been one of the philosophical thoughts that, you know, one of the difficult questions for centuries and millennia, right? We don't have a specific answer, but on the national level, clearly there is this idea that punishment is a result of sin, and therefore it's expressed in the same, for example, in Pasuk Yedalid, Niskad ol psha'ai b'yado, recognition that the sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took accounting, took reckoning for the sins, recognition that, in Pasuk Yudchet, even stronger, Tzadiku Hashem kifihu mariti. After the shock of the Churban, right, which is the desolation and the loneliness and the scorn which Yerushalayim is feeling, it recognizes, and there's an element of Tziduk Hadin here, recognition of Tzadiku Hashem kifihu mariti. Okay? And the recognition that ultimately the Churban came about through the sins, and that leads to a certain extent in Pasuk Chaf, Re'e Hashem Kitzarli, if recognition that the punishment is coming from Hashem, it leads to a degree of turning to Hashem, and therefore at the very end, the ending of the chapters usually has a pasuk which you also find in the Kinos, where usually each chapter ends with some element of Nechama or the like. And therefore, let's say in the end of the first paragraph, which is spoken about the scorn, the ridicule of the enemies, now the Churban Yerushalayim, where the turn to Hashem and saying, turn it all their scorn and bring back upon them. We say at the end of Shamukin and Achari Enim, right? Tavo koratam lefanecha, va'ole lamo ka'asher alata kopshai. The Yerushalayim turns to Hashem, that Hashem should bring upon our enemies all that they have done and brought upon us, and the scorn that they've displayed to us should be returned to them. And with that, we end the first chapter. The clear thought, as I mentioned, the first one is a recognition of the enemy being the nations surrounding the surrounding nations. Pasuk Bet takes us into a deeper reflection, and this is something which very much, as if after the Holocaust, the question of how could God have let it happen? Okay, that although obviously the people who the actual destruction was brought about through the enemy, whether it be the Babylonians in the first Beis HaMikdash, or the Romans in the second Beis HaMikdash, or the Germans in the Holocaust, or the Spain, or the Inquisition, each generation, or the Cossacks and the each generation, and it's but if the recognition ultimately, thinking that if sin is what brings about the punishment, that means ultimately Hashem is doing this. And therefore, Pasuk Perek Bet gets into a very, very deep philosophical question, and how could Hashem have let it happen? And the whole focus then shifts to Hashem. It's less the enemy is not the people without, but a recognition that they were just vessels, tools in the hand of Hashem. And therefore, in Perek Bet, the question, if it gets even stronger, in Pesukim Dalet, and hey, Darach Kashto Koyev, Hashem pulled his bow like an enemy. Haya Hashem Ke'oyev, and almost HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taken Kivyachu almost as an enemy, because the recognition that ultimately they are his emissaries, they could not bring about the Churban had Hashem not decided. And therefore this thought of how could Hashem have allowed it to happen becomes something which overwhelms Yerushalayim, overwhelms the Jewish people, and it becomes extremely, extremely difficult for, and throughout the second parak, and at the ending of the second parak, with this recognition that Hashem is doing it, this distance from Hashem is something which is much harder to take. If the enemy is external, but I can turn to Hashem and say, look what he did to me, no, take revenge from him, I can handle it emotionally. It's very difficult, it's lonely, it's desolate, it's tragedy. But as long as I have the connection with Hashem, I can say, okay, you know, look what he did something terrible. I turn to Hashem, take revenge from him. But when I think further that this ultimately came from Hashem, Venerate, it becomes much harder. Who am I turning to now? Who am I turning to? I'm realizing that Hashem was the one who allowed this to happen. And then it says at the very end of Perek Beth, for example, in Pasuk Chaf, Re'eh Hashem v'habita limi olal tako. Look, Hashem, to whom what you did and to who you did it. A recognition that Hashem is doing it. And then to Pasuk Chaf Beth, it is much to say, always says, Tikrachim eres saviv lo yabiyom af Hashem po v'sarid asher tipach tivit avi kilam. It ends on that note of nowhere to turn. It doesn't have that typical nechama at the end, because with that thought of distance from Hashem, there seems to be, where do we go from here? Right? That is the biggest crisis, when the person feels, or when the nation feels, that their connection with Hashem is gone, and Hashem himself has turned almost the enemy in allowing the tragedy to happen. In Perek Gimel is where, again, Yerushalayim or Ani Hageva, interestingly, it talks about, is a much different type. It's three short psukim of each letter, which goes into a deep hashkafically, an analysis of this whole idea. And beginning from the Zion psukim, after again sitting down and realizing the darkness that Hashem has, the darkness that we're experiencing because of, say, just for example, in Pasuk Chet or Tet, Gam ki ezak vashavea satham tefilati ledev gadar. Gadar badi feels that they're fenced in by Hashem. Even if I daven, Hashem doesn't listen to me. I keep seeing as if Hashem is punishing and doesn't see. Then in Psukim, in the Zayim Psukim, is where it begins to be, after reaching this pit, I guess the end of the Vav is the real turnaround. Va'omar avad nitzchi v'tochalti mehashem. Ultimately hits rock bottom, where he feels there's no hope left. The whole connection with Hashem feels that Hashem has totally abandoned him, that there's no more hope. Then the Zion is where the turnaround, after having hit the bottom, Zachor, Zot Ashilibi, person contemplates more rationally a design psukim, not pasuk zayin, but the zayins. That's a yutet chaf chaf aleph. Zachor nimudil anavosh. He thinks about the tragedy. Zachor tiskor, member of the shoch anavshi. But zot ashiv elibi. I think of something. Al kain ochil. As opposed to the end of the vav, where he feels I've lost my hope, something comes into the mind, and that gives back a ray of hope. And that you have in Pasuk Chaf Bet, Chasdei Hashem ki lo samnu, ki lo chalu rachamav. The fact is, emuna, that Hashem's goodness never ceases. Ki lo chalu rachamav, this axiom that we have, that Hashem is good, Hashem's goodness never ceases, that's an axiom in Jewish Hashkafa.
And then there's a question when it says, Chasdei Hashem ki lo samnu. How would you translate that?
The question, what the new is. Right? So there's some say that we haven't perished. I think it's. I think the simple reading is that God's goodness will not perish.
But, not that they
right.
Israel will not perish?
Yeah, I don't think
the
so.
The nation?
Chaf Bet. Hashem's kindness surely has not ended. So they interpret that as, you know, they don't give significance to the Nun. It says that's an alternate translation that we have or not allowed. But the simple understanding is this Jewish axiom of recognition that even in the darkest hours, even the most difficult situations, there is an axiom which upon reflection, it's not easy to. When you're sitting in the tragedy, it's very, very hard to feel that. But upon contemplation, upon reflection, that is the axiom. And when thinking about that idea, that Chasdei Hashem kilotam kilochul rachamav sechadashim labukarim rabba imunatech, which is the source of Moda'ani, right? Newly every morning, again, there is the goodness of Hashem. And therefore, chalki Hashem anashi al kein ochil lo. And therefore, when the person is able to relate rationally to this axiom, then hope begins again. And therefore, ironically, you have words which almost don't appear the rest of Eicha. Tov Hashem l'kovav, l'nefesh sidushem. Tov v'yachir v'damam. Tov l'gever ki yisrael v'norav. That axiom enables to be able to see again in a positive light, and to be able to move on is Sheba Davidon, ki yitoy, like to sit it out. Right? It's right now, it's down in the dirt, but hang in there. Because Hastei Hashem Kilotamnu, and at some point there will be Nechama, there will be salvation, there will be things will turn around. Kilo Yiznach Leolam Hashem. It's not going to be forever, right? And therefore, as I say, the Mem is a recognition that the good and the bad, ultimately, it comes from Hashem. And therefore, with this reflection, so then what can we do then? And that's where we get to the Num Sukim, Nisa Nachpasad Achem V'Nachkora. The Nashuva Ad Hashem, the idea of tshuva, the idea of davening, the recognition Nachu Pashano Marinu, the recognition ultimately it comes from the sin, and therefore what happens here is that this, as I mentioned, this needs to be emphasized so much that the whole turnaround of Megillas Eicha is this axiom of Chasidei Hashem Kilotamnu, which upon reflecting on it, he puts the person in a whole different perspective. That means there is a hope. There always is hope. There always is a future. We need to do so. In the meantime, we have to sit it out. We have to see what we can do to repent, and therefore, ultimately, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is returned again. So you get to just jumping to the Kuf Sukkim, and there, as opposed to the end of Perak Bet, which we felt that the Tefillah, or the beginning of Perak Gimel, even we felt that the Tefillah could not make its way through. Karati Shimcha Hashem Mibor Tachtiot. Again, that connection is restored. And even from the depths of the pit, once again, we feel there is a possibility of tefillah koli shamata. Feel that the voice is listened to. Al talim av sachal av chatila avshin. Don't avoid listening with your ears. From a karavata biyom ekuravka, he feels again the drawing close back to Hashem. Amarta al tira, and therefore the person gets the encouragement and the power to turn to Hashem, to fight, to once again take revenge, and ultimately back in at the very end, Tashiv Lahem Gumul Hashem Kama Sayyidahem, realize that ultimately Hashem is not the enemy, but the enemy is the external, but the connection with Hashem is something where that can continue. So there's a lot to see here, but I just wanted to point it, I just wanted to share with you this idea, this philosophical Hashkafic approach that you have here to the tragedy, which begins with the initial shock, which is natural for the circumstances, and the feeling, which at that point the person is still feeling connection to Hashem. It can slip into a situation of ultimately a little bit more reflection. Wait, ultimately Hashem is like, what is Hashem doing this to me for? And then the person begins to feel distancing from Hashem himself, which is the hardest and most difficult stage of the Chorban. Until upon a person able to begin to reflect upon things a little bit, and then with that feeling that ultimately, you know, Koma David Rahmana, the Tav Avid, whatever phrase you want to call it, Chas Deshem Kil Tamnu, I call Nikomi Shamayim, everything, whatever explain you want to, where all everything that God does is for good. There is this idea that Hashem is the ultimate Tov, and therefore everything, even the tragedy, has to be put in that perspective. And realize there is always what to hope for the future, and there is always that the idea of tshuva and calling to Hashem, which ultimately can restore again that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is one of the ideas, the feeling that carries through these two prakim of Eicha. We should be zocha to read as a prior. As a prior history, so the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the restoration of the Geula, Meherav Yaminu Amen.
Amen.